Welcome to Street Talk, a public affairs presentation of Cumulus Media aired on our Cumulus stations in Syracuse. Street Talk is a weekly show keeping you in touch with the individuals and organizations that work for and serve our community. We're your hosts, Ted and Amy. Chef Brian Isbell started his personal chef business in 2020, but kind of by accident. It's grown to include a huge home meal delivery service. He talks about his background and how he came to run one of the fastest growing businesses in the area.
I'm a personal chef, and what I do is I bring just good meals to people. And, we come into people's homes and we put on a high-end menu and, amazing just dishes. I know a lot of people say this is what a celebrity is like to be treated for the evening. And we bring all plates, napkins, forks, platters, pots, pans, and candles. You just plan a menu and then pick out a tablecloth or centerpiece, and we handle it from there. People are just taken back by the amazing service, you know.
Now, on top of that, you also do a meal prep delivery service, and that's kind of delivering foods that are already ready, correct?
Correct. Our meal prep delivery service is we put out over 500 meals per week, and anywhere from Baldwinsville to Cazenovia. And what we do is I started this facet of my business because I was at an in-home personal chef experience and someone had asked me if they could scale it down. And I said, well, I really don't get into that, but it's nothing I can't do. I don't look at that as beneath me. So I made a couple dishes on a Sunday and I delivered them for a client of mine. Her mother had dementia. So I felt bad and I helped her out. And 4 days later, some friends of hers called me and said, we'd like the same things that you gave Janice. So I went from 5 meals to 20 meals in 4 days. And then for 26 weeks in a row, we went up by 21 meals or more. So I started that facet of my business. And now we deliver over 500 meals to Central New York per week.
That's amazing. Well, I mean, tell me what's your background, Brian? I mean, how did you get into doing any of this in the first place?
Well, we just had an article written about us in Central New York Magazine. And I graduated from BOCES Culinary Arts School, so I'm a local guy right here in Central New York, born and raised in Baldwinsville. And I graduated Culinary Arts in 1995 at the top of my class. It wasn't really in the culinary field. A resort or a cruise ship is where your big money is. So I figured I could parlay that in 95, but not too much of that was happening. So I ended up working for a railroad in East Syracuse. And I figured I would get, a job before my culinary career took off. Well, it didn't really work out that way. So 2 months became 5 months, became a year, became 5 years. And next thing you know, I'm towards the top of a seniority roster. I had 25 years in at that job. And then I decided to retire at 42 years old. Did about 6 months in retirement. And to be honest with you, Miss Amy, I got bored. So my beautiful bride said, why don't you use your culinary degree? And she said, you love to cook and you're always cooking, but you don't get to see the entertainment aspect of it. And she said, if you can do this in people's homes, what we do for our friends, it will it'll be a huge hit. So I decided to have my wife bring some of her friends over, and I cooked for them, and it was amazing, and they loved it. A lady that was at that party, that get-together, she said, my husband's birthday is in 2 weeks. Can you do this for him as a surprise? And I said, sure. So I went over to their house, and they were amazed by the culinary skill set that I had and the dishes that we prepared, and, a real high-end Dauphinoise potatoes, crab imperial stuffed lobster tails. They loved it. So another person at that party wanted the exact same thing for their husband. So I decided to open a business and went through getting my, DBA and turned into an LLC, insurance, food liability insurance, lawyers, all that stuff that comes along with starting a business. But I had to do a lot of it on my own. I had to reach out to other restaurant owners. For 25 years, I worked for another company. I didn't know about running a business. So I reached out and, had to learn by mistake. There are a lot of trials and tribulations that you learn. by mistake. You know, you learn by messing up. But we prevailed, and now it just is just popular, and we're booked. I mean, I'm booked all the way until July. It's just an amazing service, and people say it's what it's like to be treated like a celebrity. It's just, I've done engagements, proposals, birthday parties. I mean, just so many different aspects to it. And you just get to meet some of the coolest people. And it really is personal. You know, I do parties under 20 because I like the personal aspect of it. Some people like to sit in their living room and listen to Sinatra and drink wine while we cook them amazing meals. And other people like to sit around the kitchen and watch me cook as like a TV show. So it's pretty neat, you know, the interaction. That's what I like, is the interaction with people. It's not just like catering, you know, where you just come in and throw down a pan of lasagna with a spatula and c'est la vie. You know, you get to actually talk to people and get to know people. And that's what I like.
And how long have you been doing this? When did you retire from your other job?
Sure. I retired in 2020.
Oh, wow. So this is pretty new.
Brand new. It just took off. We're one of Central New York's fastest growing businesses. Small businesses, excuse me.
And it sounds like, you know, when people are booking you, I mean, I love the fact that you bring everything too, like your pots and pans and everything, because I think a lot of people say, well, my kitchen's not equipped to host you, but it doesn't matter because you bring everything.
Correct, Miss Amy. I've cooked in hunting cabins and $10 million mansions and everything in between that.
It sounds like you're pretty amazed, too, that your meal prep delivery service has gone so fast as well, right?
I would not have expected that. Like I said, the young lady came to me and asked me to cook for her mom with dementia, and I actually wasn't even going to do that, to be honest with you. But like I said, I had felt bad. You know, I went to culinary school to make Chateaubriand and, you know, beef Wellington and stuff like that, higher end menus. Last Tuesday, I made 193 pounds of meatloaf. And you know what it is? It's exactly like you said, Miss Amy. It's people don't want to prep it, cook it, and clean it. And that's where we come in. We take care of all of that so that you don't have to. Busy parents. I created this system because I was a busy parent. I'm a parent of two. So what would my kids want? That's not fast food, but it's good food, quality food. It's all handmade, scratch made menus. And, you know, that's one thing I didn't notice is, adult children buying for their parents. That's one thing. That's another thing that came by mistake. I never would have thought that. So people started calling me, and I would say, for instance, Mrs. Smith, why are you ordering this? But it doesn't go to your address. It goes to a different address. And she would say, well, my mother doesn't want to cook anymore. So we order three meals a week, five meals a week, whatever it may be. And she's all set. She doesn't have to cook. It's all wow. Set. Then we had a huge influx. I was wondering, I would get all these phone calls and emails from Jersey, Philadelphia, Miami, and these people were calling me. So I asked my beautiful bride, I said, what, why would someone in Miami be worried about a little guy in Central New York? So I asked one client one time, I said, if you don't mind me asking, why do you order, but it goes, you know, say up to SU Hill? And she said, Brian, I'm a flight attendant, and my son studies law at SU. And he eats Varsity Pizza and Grubhub, and it costs me $60 a day.
Oh, wow.
Since then, SU, Lemoyne, and OCC are some of our biggest clients. Just kids want to eat food, you know, but mom wants to get it for them, and then we just deliver it right to them.
That is pretty awesome.
They take a screenshot of our menu every week, send it to their kids, you know, pick five, and then there's dinner for the week. Done.
That is pretty cool, Brian. Wow.
Very, very unique process.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got like a niche audience, you know what I mean? I mean, something that you just focused on that is just really working for you, which is great.
Correct. And you know, I'm not here to knock other services. There's plenty out there. But some things that I don't do is we don't have contracts. I always thought it was unfair if you are under a contract, say a 3-month contract, what if you go to Florida for 2 of those months? Or say you get 5 meals per week, you're required to. What if you only eat 4 of them? You know, it's wasted food. And in the culinary field, that's one thing that they teach you about is, you know, you don't waste. That's where a business will fail if you waste. So we try not to do that. And we're very unique as opposed to a restaurant. Our overhead is 1%. An average restaurant might be 20 to 27%. The reason being is a restaurant doesn't know if one meatloaf dinner is going to walk in the door or 300 meatloaf dinners are going to walk in the door. We know exactly how many we need to make every single week. So our overhead is less than 1%. It's amazing. It's pretty neat.
And you change the menu every week with this delivery service?
Every week. We like to change it up for our clients. And we have we do a lot of specials. You know, we have what we call an all-star menu. And it's our top 7 sellers. We have it about once every month and a half. Meatloaf. My grandmother's recipe for pot roast. That's our number one seller. We make over 200 pounds of that every time it's on the menu. This week is client's choice. It's just our clients reach out to us and say, hey, I want to see this on the menu. And being a trained chef, I can make anything. So they say, hey, how about chicken piccata this week? So we put it on the menu and it excels. It just does very well.
Well, now, I know you're working with us with a sweet deal. So the certificate that people buy, is that going to be good for a specific thing that you do? Or tell me about that.
We have no deadline on that. So if you choose to get one meal this week, and then, like I said, there's no contract. So you can wait 4 weeks and then get 2 meals or, you know, however you want to do it. We're very, very, very versatile with that. And that's going to be a great promotion. It's a chance for people at half the price to get that food in their mouth. And we've noticed that once people get our food in their mouth, they stay committed. We have a very, very loyal following.
Aww.
It's just getting people to try the food. Because it's a newer concept. They're not used to it. We've built a great team. We've built a great team. And our business just keeps thriving. We've outgrown 3 commercial restaurants within 15 months. So we just decided to get a restaurant down on Tip Hill, about 2 blocks west of Brooklyn Pickle.
And that's where you do all the meal prep and everything like that?
That's our meal prep, and we do all that in 2 days.
Wow.
Monday's our prep day. Tuesday from about 6 a.m. till midnight is our cook day. Then my 6 delivery drivers go out and deliver from, like I said, Baldwinsville to Cazenovia. I think it's a 43-mile radius that we cover.
You know, you keep mentioning your lovely wife, but she must be a big part of this, huh?
I couldn't do it without her, Miss Amy. You know, one of these days, she's a wonderful teacher in East Syracuse. And one day I'm hoping that I can have her retire early.
Well, I wouldn't say retire, Brian. So, sounds like she'll be just as busy. But
yeah, probably. But, yeah. You know, it's good to... good to do it with your family. You know, my son's the dishwasher. My 14-year-old daughter, she does all the bagging and puts all the next week's menus in all the bags for everyone. So it's a real small family business.
See more at ChefBrianIsbell.com. Well, Central New York boating season is here, and even though it may cost you a bit more at the pump to be out on the water, Dave White from the New York Sea Grant says it's still affordable and worth every penny.
As you and I have talked many times, and I just love being on with you because of your excitement and enthusiasm for all of the water resources we have, whether it's something we're doing in the winter, spring, summer, fall. You know, we are a four-season, you know, community of waterways. And, you know, we're now kicking into summer, and a lot of people have had a great spring out on the water. They've tried to get the boats out early. I've seen a lot of kayakers and canoers and paddle boarders. So it's been a fabulous spring and welcome to summer now. So, you know, this is just a great time of year to be thinking about all the variety and great ways to get out on the water.
I remember talking to you in 2020 when a lot of people were trying boating for one of the first times or buying a boat because they needed to have something that wasn't surrounded by other people. And it's always kind of been that way when it comes to boating.
It has, you know, and it it gets us out into the resources that we all love, which, you know, is one of the reasons we all love to live in this part of New York with the great waterways that we have. But it is just such a family-friendly, friend-friendly, if you will, or just very personal. I want to get out on my own. And our waterways give us that opportunity, whether you're a kayak canoeer, a paddleboarder, you know, powerboater, sailboater, yachter. You know, it just gives us that opportunity for the depth and breadth to really enjoy our resources really 24/7. You know, a lot of folks are out late evening into the night fishing, early morning. So, you know, our waterways are so diverse and the opportunity is so diverse. It just, it provides that for all of us.
I know that we have become more stringent on the rules when it comes to boating. So can you run that down again, just regarding who can operate a boat and ages and certification and all that?
Absolutely. And, you know, I even forget what the specific year is if I don't look it up myself. And I do that intentionally with folks to say, by 2025, everyone who operates a motorized vessel on the waterways of New York will have to have taken the 8-hour course. And that course is taught by our good friends at the Coast Guard Auxiliary, the Power Squadron, you know, our sheriff departments, our volunteers with the state program. And you can also take it online. And, you know, it is ratcheting up. I think we're into maybe the upper 20s, early 30s, if you're of that age or, you know, younger, you have to have taken it. But we're all going to have to have taken it by 2025. And it's a great course. I'm a volunteer instructor for it. And I also remind folks that own boats. Also, by taking the course, a lot of the insurance companies will give you a price break on your insurance because you have demonstrated that you're going to be a safe and clean operator. So there's also an economic value to folks, as well as being safe, you know, out on the waterways, making sure that everybody on board is safe and secure so that we all have a great time when we're out on the water.
You know, we're very lucky around here because I think if you don't own a boat, there's places that rent them. I mean, I know there's places now that if you rent a specific cottage or whatever, it comes with a boat. It's just, I think people who decide to do that, you can't just jump willy-nilly into operating a boat. You really have to find what you're doing before you actually experience it.
You really do. And, you know, rental boats have been around, you know, as long as you and I have. But it's really become much more mainstream now. A lot of places are renting especially pontoon boats, because they are easier to manage, a little safer for a lot of folks, a little better comfort level. But when you rent a boat, you're also getting training at the rental site. So it's not, you know, here's the keys, good luck, Godspeed. You are getting training from the folks that are there. In some cases, it is restricted who can rent them. And there's additional restrictions on possibly where you can go with them. But that's more body of water or type of rental that you're doing. But I encourage people to rent that want to begin to think about getting into boating. It's, you know, it's like folks that buy a car. And a lot of times they'll say, rent the type of car you might want to buy, so you get a chance to kind of kick the tires and drive it. In this case, you kind of kick the prop and drive it. But rentals are great. And a lot of paddle sport rentals are out there, and they'll even deliver it to a launch ramp for you. And they will do the same thing. If you've never been in a kayak or a paddle board, they'll give you the basic knowledge of how do you operate it safely, so that you have a great time out on the water.
Well, David, I hate to put a damper on boating season, but I think we have to talk about gas prices, because, you know, I think part of the draw during the pandemic was the fact that you could really affordably operate a boat, and things have changed. I mean, you know, gas prices are going to be affecting things that are on the water now, too.
They are. And, you know, but I like to put it in perspective. You know, we're headed right into summer now. You know, we have, you know, depending on the type of boating you do, 3 to 4 good months of boating for folks to get out there. And this is just, you know, almost like it's a plea from me. I mean, I've been boating all of my life. I just love the water resources we have in upstate New York. Go boating. Yeah, it's going to be a little more expensive. It is, but there's ways you can try to contain that. You know, just like with your car, you know, make sure, you know, you're balancing out the weight on your boat. If you have things that are sticking up in the air, like if you've got your canvas up there, lower it down so you don't have as much drag on it. You know, doing those kind of things, make sure your engine is tuned. If you're trailering the boat, make sure your trailer, the tires are inflated well. So there's a whole host of things you can do to help reduce the cost of operating the boat. But please go boating. I mean, it's just, you know, it's one, it's just really enjoy it, folks, because, you know, it is what we're about living up here. It's a great opportunity. And maybe instead of, you know, going out for, you know, when you're out on the lake, you're going to be out there for the day or the river, you know, you might drive an hour out into, you know, the body of water and then sit for a while. Well, maybe you'll only go a half an hour, which is, you know, but you're still going to be out on the water for, you know, 6-8 hours on a Saturday or Sunday, really enjoying the water resources that we have. So I really encourage folks to do that and think of ways to, you know, save money. Maybe instead of, you know, trailering your boat an hour away from the house, you'll trailer it maybe a half an hour. So you're saving money on, you know, your car gas as you're rolling that into the boating season. So, you know, it's just something I hope people don't let it stop their opportunity to just really enjoy it. It just think of creative ways maybe to cut the cost back. And I also want to share with folks that, you know, all of our great marine dealers here in the Boating Industry Association and across upstate New York, they're not gouging you at the pump at the marina. It's a great service they provide at the site. And, you know, they're not making a lot of money on it because it costs them more to get the gas because they, you know, they're a seasonal business, so they don't have, you know, the 12-month refill going on. Also, the bigger gas trucks can't get to the facility, so they have to transfer it to smaller trucks to get it there. So the gas that they have in their tank at a marina, they're actually paying more for. And they're just, you know, they're trying to provide that service for folks. So they're not gouging you. And also, we do need to talk about the ethanol issue as well. Ethanol is the blended gas. You know, it's how it's produced. In many cases, it's more efficient. A lot of our gas stations sell 10% ethanol. The EPA has given a waiver to increase that to 15%. For a longer period of time. It's helped our corn producers and others. So, you know, there's a benefit to, you know, E10, E15 gas that we see at our local gas station. The problem that you have is many marine engines, especially older engines, were not designed to burn ethanol gas. So there's a real concern, and we want people to be very cautious of that, you know, you need to, and that's also why sometimes it's a little more expensive at marinas, is you need non-ethanol gas or low ethanol gas. You can actually, if you use E15, you can actually void the warranty on your engine because it's not designed to utilize that gas, as a lot of recreational vehicles are in the same situation. It's just how they were designed. So be cautious of the gas that you're using. You know, and again, I technically just got gas in my Jeep, and I was just checking it out as I was standing there, and the non-ethanol gas was 50 cents more a gallon. It's cheap. It was cheaper than diesel. It's more than, you know, the unleaded I was putting in mine. And you can get it at most gas stations as well. But also remember, if you're at a marina, they really don't want you bringing your 5-gallon gas can in, because, you know, you putting gas in your boat at the dock is a recipe for potential disaster, because if you have a spill, it would shut an entire facility down while they go through, you know, cleaning up any gas that was leaked in. So make sure you're reading the rules. You know, again, the marina operators are there to help. They're providing a great service, and you know, be creative, but please use your boats. I mean, don't let the high gas stop you from that great fun, you know, friendly fun that you can have on the water.
And you kind of already mentioned safety, but you know, life preservers, things like that you're going to need. Just make sure that if you're starting out this season, you have all of that in place.
I just love the conversations you and I have, because I know we've had those conversations, and I know you love to get the message. Just like you said, have it all in place so you're ready to go. You know, at the start of the boating season, do you have enough life jackets? Are they in good working order? Are they accessible? Are your flares up to date? You know, is your fire extinguisher in good working order? So, you know, I just did a program last week where I actually showed them, you know, I have a very small Tupperware container, and I call it my boat safety box. And it says that right on it, that it's always ready to go. I get it ready the beginning of the year. It's on the boat. A lot of people don't like to leave their gear on the boat to make sure, you know, it doesn't get stolen. So if you're in, you know, doing that, by having it all in one box that you've checked the beginning of the year, you can just take it out of the garage, put it back on the boat, take it out of the shed at the cottage, put it back on the boat, and it's always ready to go. So people know, grab your life jacket, grab the boat safety box. It's all ready to go. You've done all the pre-planning. So once you hit the water, it's just a great day. That pre-planning has really put it in context so that everybody on board just has a really good time. You're not worrying about, oh, if I do have a problem, you know, do I have the gear I need? If I do get stopped for whatever reason, just a courtesy check, I have all the gear I need. Just takes all the pressure off so that you're just going to have a good time while you're out there.
Well, David, always fun to talk to you this time of year. Is there anything that I'm not asking you about that you want to talk about?
No, but, you know, as you said, you know, you had to talk about the downer at the end about gas. But again, it's a plea for me and just an encouragement to folks. Don't let that dissuade you from using the vessels that you have as best you can to get out on New York waterways. It is going to be a great summer. I mean, we're seeing the weather for this weekend. You know, for graduations, it's going to be great. For other parties, and then we're going into the 4th. I think it's just going to be a great summer. And as people are, you know, really emerging from COVID, and we're back with our friends and our extended families, it doesn't get any better than, you know, enjoying a day out either in the kayak with the family, on that pontoon boat or that power boat or that sailboat, to really bring everybody together, connect, relax, just enjoy the day. So take advantage of it, because, you know, we've got 4 months of it. So, you know, this is, they say this too shall pass, and it might cost us a little more this year, but don't lose a year of boating because of that. Don't lose that from your family and your friends, because it's just what we all live for.
Learn more tips about boating at nycgrant.org. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Street Talk. If you have an issue to discuss, or an event or nonprofit organization to promote, or to find out more information about something you've heard on this or past week's programs, email amy.robbins@cumulus.com. For events, allow 2 weeks in advance. Street Talk has been a public affairs presentation of Cumulus Media. We're Ted and Amy. Thanks for joining us each week here on Street Talk.
Just Getting Started with Susie Schuster has stories of humble beginnings and humbling moments from inspiring people. Modern Family's Eric Stone Street.
Making a lot of ice here, sorry.
That's all right. If you're going to make a cocktail, I will join you for one.
Yeah, it's good cocktail ice. I'm an ice person. I have crushed ice for just like soft drinks and water, and then I have the Bell Ice for more of a cocktail.
I've never felt closer to you than I do right now.
I love ice.
The new Just Getting Started with Susie Schuster. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.